Thank you, band. Praise God. You know, this is Father's Day, and my message is going to be geared toward the fathers. But it's also going to be geared, unless it was really, you know, supposed to be done by the Holy Spirit. The Word of God is for everyone and every gender that's alive. So today, it's purposely geared for men, fathers, but it's geared for all who are here. And so if I say men in any of the areas, ladies, I want you to take in and also realize that it's for yourself as well. Praise God. I want us to take a look very quickly, if we could, John, the Gospel of John, chapter 11. We're going to read the story of Lazarus. My message this morning is leap out. And for the men who are here, let me see the pappies who are here. Raise your hands. Any granddads here? Yes. Baza. Brother Barry, you're a grandpa too, aren't you, man? God bless you. Good to have you here this morning. You're still standing. Thank God you're still standing. And you are an example. God is making you an example if you don't feel like you are one. For those young men that are coming up, all of you young men that are coming up, I pray, God, that we do leave after ourselves a legacy toward you about God in our lives, what he's done, all the warts and all the good stuff, especially as well. Amen? Because you're going to need to hold on to something. Are you listening? Young fellas, you're going to need to listen and hold on to something when the days that are coming, as time goes on in your life, the things that you're going to face, if you don't have an anchor, if you don't have it in Christ, if you don't have it in men that you looked at who have gone through the thick and the thin and they're still standing, you're going to fall. But thank God for the church. Thank God for the body of Christ who is filled, teeming filled with men who have gone through it, even to the point of realizing that it's real hard to be a man. A lot of men don't want to say that out loud and would never admit it, but it is, and T.D. Jakes, he says it in his video presentation, emotions. It is hard to be a man. It's not easy. And we thank God for the women who have been behind us, if we're married, that have helped to carry us through the times when we were the beaten, the burdened, the chained, and other things that we've passed through the fire. And they were there praying for us many times behind the scene. Praise God. But when a man begins to stand up, when a man starts to come out and begins to fulfill the role of a man, you can't beat it. You can't beat it. And this is why Satan tries to devour, destroy, he seeks to kill, steal, and destroy everything out of every single man, young and old. Sometimes even before you get to manhood, he tries to beat it out of you. Cause you to submit to the things that he has planned for your life that are so opposite, contrary, antichrist to what God has planned for us men. Praise God. Are you glad if you're a man today? Are you glad that you're a man? Can I hear an amen? Amen. Amen. Ladies, are you glad that you've been backing your men up? Amen. Let's hear that again, ladies. Yeah, probably too tired from praying for us, so amen. Praise God. Let's take a look at Lazarus, John chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. We'll skip over some of the passages, verses here. Now, a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, the sister sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, in whom you love is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And so when he heard that he was sick, just like Jesus, unbeknownst to us sometimes, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. And then after this, we'll stop there and just go a little bit further down to verse 17. So when Jesus came, after the 2 days, when Jesus came, he found that he had already been laid. Lazarus has already been laid in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went to and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." So Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." He was buried. Martha was one of the people that had him buried and helped to bury him. Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live. Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." "Do you believe this?" he asked. This morning again, I'm asking, and Jesus is asking, do you believe this? That Jesus, though you die, you'll still live. Go down to beginning with verse 34. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" And then they said to him, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus wept. This is the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept, but it's filled, absolutely filled with the heart of God. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying?" Don't we hear this today? People get miracles done in themselves or members of their family, and then someone else needs a miracle, and they say, "Well, it happened to them. How come it's not happening to us? Why is God doing this? Why isn't it happening like we prayed?" Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was laid against it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." That's a faith statement right there. The man was dead. He had been in there for 4 days. And we're going to see something here. Martha, Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, this time there is a stench. He stinks, for he had been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God?" If that was us, we'd be out there with the underarm deodorant and things to spray the atmosphere so it wouldn't stink that much. Jesus never said that. Go get the aroma stuff to clear the air when this man comes out. When God heals, when God brings to life, it's perfect. Just like a little baby. Praise God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me." That's his faith statement. "And I know that you always hear me, because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." And now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus," I won't do it, "Lazarus, come forth." Come out. Man was dead for 4 days. Should be stinking by this time. And Jesus knew, because he stood there as the resurrection, this man was going to come out. "And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with cloth. I get claustrophobic when I hear, read this story, you know. But, you know, God doesn't need us, even in a sense, to breathe. His life is in us. That's all that counts. And he said, loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. Can you think of it? Jesus crying out with a loud voice in the language that he spoke that day. And all of a sudden, in a tomb that was meandering down into the earth, in a sort of like a little bit of a cut out space where the body was shoved in, all bound with grave clothes, hearing the voice of the master, hearing the voice of the one who gives life. He's too bound to walk or run. But he was too determined, friends, I tell you what, to stay in that tomb and just stay in death. Praise God. Men, I'm speaking to the men this morning, but I'm speaking to people, all of us today, in the name of Jesus. He was too dogged, determined to stay in that place where people had put him, and he couldn't do anything about it. Put him in a place to bury him. A place that was called a grave. Many of us don't think about a grave because we don't like to think about a grave. But he made up his mind when he heard the voice of the Lord. Friends, there's nothing that can stop. With this point right here in this story, this is showing us that no matter what condition we are in, no matter where we are, whatever we're going through, when God speaks and calls our name and calls us to resurrect us from a situation even unto death, we will hear him. We will hear him. And we'll be able to have the life in us given by Jesus when he calls out, because there's life in his words, to cause us to do something, to leap out of a situation that we're in. Whatever it is that you're facing today, men, whatever situation that you're facing today, whatever tomb that people or yourself, where you've died to something, an area of your life that you've died, and it stinks, and people have buried you, that's not the end of you, because Christ is the resurrection. We're living in a new millennium, friends. I think we all know that, 2000 plus. We're living in a brand new millennium, but the problems that men face today, all of us face today, are ancient problems. They're nothing new. The people back in Jesus' day, all the way back to the beginning of time, they're ancient problems that Satan has set up like hurdles for men to leap and fall. Praise God. Not for the falling, but praise God for the Savior who's made a way out. Amen. Praise God. The things that we're facing could be things in the economic situation, our finances, it could be our health. It could be family things that we're facing and going through, personal things, social things that we're facing. We're living in a world that people have a tendency, a great tendency, no matter who we are or where we are, to hold off. If you look a little bit or act a little bit or are a little bit, color, skin, whatever. You're a little bit different, so we stand back a little bit. Social problems. Did you know that's been sending people down the spiral? Just that alone, that area. It could be socially, it could be moral things that have just come around and attached themselves to you, and they've caused you to die inside. Let's be honest. Let's not play church this morning. Don't look at the stained glass windows if we had them. Don't look at how beautiful the yellow walls are. Everybody's going, ugh. We're changed. Men are changed or challenged because of this. Men are challenged to survive. Men are challenged even to prosper. And it's not easy. It's not easy. If we're going to survive and carry on through our dilemmas, and we can, it's crucial that we hear the voice of Jesus, just like Lazarus. You know, we've been going over that verse, and I've been saying it for a long time. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever. So the Christ that was back there at the beginning, before Lazarus' resurrection, is the same Christ that was present at the resurrection of Lazarus, is the same Christ and the anointing of God and the power of God that is alive and here today, this morning, in our world, in this place, for each of us, not singled out, but for each of us. God is looking, friends, for radical men, young and old, to take up the loins of their shoes and tie their boots up for running, to get the proper clothes on and divest themselves of the things that once held them back, to dehumanize and demanize, in a sense, if that's a new word, I don't know, to demanize a person, a man, to make him not really what he should be. To leap out of those places, begin to walk, to move out of those places that we were once bound in and in a dead situation, no longer we're good for nothing anymore. Leaping is how men get around. If you look at this story, leaping is how dead men get around that have been brought to life. But the life is the beginning. You see, Lazarus was bound up. When he died, he was bound up and he was wrapped up with cloths that had particular agents that would keep him from rotting and dying out quickly, preservatives. And there were things that smelled nice, that gave off a nice aroma that would only last for a certain time, but they placed those on his body as well, and they placed a cloth over his head. So when they placed him down, there were steps that went down into his tomb, and there was a bit of a vault area that he was pushed into. He was buried, and he is dead. He was out of sight. But when the call of God went into his heart, went into his spirit man, resurrected that man, the only thing he could do is hop those stairs, leaping as a man who looked dead, but he wasn't dead. And you know, men, I want to say this to you right now, young and old, if you haven't gone through it yet, or if you've gone through it, when you come out of a situation in your life that you have been bound up and wrapped up by other people because you are dead, and they've wrapped you up and put nice smelling stuff on you and brought you down these stairs and shoved you in a hole in the ground so they won't remember or have to remember you. And if they do remember you, it's all full of hatred. It's all full of misgiving. Sometimes the people who did love you are weeping for you, but there's a lot of people who are glad that you are gone. I'm talking to everybody here now. They're glad that you are gone. God's looking for radical men who will take violent action to change a matter. God is looking for radical men who will move when their lives and their freedom are endangered. Is this you this morning, men? God is looking for people who will leap out, just like Lazarus did, out of that tomb. It doesn't make any difference. Oh, I don't want them to see that I'm in my grave clothes. Just come out. Just leap out and leave the rest. Because Jesus said something when Lazarus came up to the top of the grave. He told the men around, loose the man. Take the grave clothes off. He doesn't need them anymore, and he can't breathe that well either. Praise God. He's looking for people who will leap out when society and others have sort of pushed them off, it's just a change of guard now. That's okay. I'm glad he's gone. I'm glad she's gone. God is looking for people who will leap out when the tombs of drugs, addictions, moral things in their lives, financial crisis has gripped them and tries to keep them buried. Do you feel in your life, friends, if an area in your life that is you this morning, men, that's you this morning, something in your life, whether it's addictions or whether it's moral things or whether it's financial crisis, that it's just buried you? And people have said, oh, failure. Wouldn't want to be around them. Kick them out of the church. They don't belong here. They belong in the graveyard. Just remember this. Jesus was in a tomb as well. Praise God. Enough said. When people try to keep you buried, be like Lazarus, though dead, didn't keep him from responding to Jesus. Didn't keep him from responding to the power of God. Friends, today we're in this place. We're talking about Adonai Elohim. That's Hebrew for Lord God Almighty. We're talking about the one God. There is none like him. There's only one God that we're told to worship and honor and praise him, because we're made in his image, and he created us like himself, minus his sovereignty. He created us in his image to take in hand and have dominion over things. You can't have dominion over things when you're bound up with grave clothes. Who here, let me ask the question, who here in the past little while has gone to a graveyard to have a picnic? Can I see your hands? We need to pray for you. Who here has gone to a graveyard in the past to get enlightened and to get new vision and freshness in your lives? Well, that's how ridiculous it is, because it's not there. Let the dead bury the dead. You're not going to find anything at a graveyard. You're not going to have fun at a graveyard unless you're a loony. And there's one in the Bible who was healed of it. We're not made for graveyards. We've not been made to wear grave clothes. We've been made to wear the anointing of God in and out of us. We are the temples of the Holy Spirit, bought with a price that no one could ever pay. God's best was sent. God's love came out. God's love finished the job. And God's love is raising men up all around the globe today. And he's raising men up in this church today. Men, I tell you, I'll keep on going where I'm going here. Praise God. It's the same Jesus, friends, that we're talking about today, Almighty God, who created the heavens and the earth, who has power over death and gives life. He's the one, through Jesus, who split open the graves. He's the one, friends, who called Lazarus, who was dead, called him back up to life. This is the Jesus that we're talking about today. This is the power of God that we need to recognize today. Tombs, they're designed for one thing. They're designed for those who don't come back. Men, if you're in a tomb situation in your life today, how are you looking at your situation? You're not coming back? People who know that you have died in an area in your life, they're not looking for you to come back. They've buried you already. But the call of Jesus is calling out to the dead to raise them to new life. Lazarus' tomb represents your life and my life, friends. Buried in a deadness, whatever it is, that Satan has tried to put us in society with people and other things, that they're gone. They've placed you in the tomb and they're gone because they know that you're not going to recover. What they think. the way they're thinking, the way they're seeing things. You're not coming back. You're not coming. You're never coming back. If anyone wants to come back, you must get away from the dead places and the dead things. So there's something that Lazarus had to do. He had the power of God on him and in him to raise him up from death itself. He was determined not to lay there, but he was determined to come back. You see, there's a way back. And sometimes the way back is we start thinking about things if we're a man. We start thinking about things. Well, what are they going to say? I don't want to go in that area again and show these people or start again. So what? God will send people to take your grave clothes off. God will show you the place and the vision that he has that's full of life for the way for you to go for the duration of your life. When it's all those grave clothes are taken off. Keep in mind, the tombs are a promise of relief. Let's be honest. They're a place of relief to some and grieving for others. People who don't have an ounce of grieving for people who have died because they know what they've done, what they've gone through, they have a tendency to always remember the warts and always have their clothesline outside with your dirty laundry on it for everybody else to see. Don't you think Jesus saw the dirty laundry in Lazarus' life? I mean, he is forgiven. The man was forgiven by God, not man, by God. Some people will hold things against you. And they're good people sometimes. They'll hold things against you or your name for the rest of your life. Some people will hold against you even your right to be on this planet. That's how bad it can get. To be part of another family or to be part of a family, they've erased you off. You'll never ever get them to realize that you've been forgiven. They'll never realize it because they don't want to. They're always looking at the things that have hurt them, the things that you've done, the things that were things that caused failure to yourself and others. So what do you do when you get to a place like this, like Lazarus, and you hear the voice of God, and you know that the power of God, the life of God is in you? Today, the life of God is here, men. Life of God is here to change again every one of us. What do you do? Just make your mind up to continue your life. Simple number one, make yourself a choice to continue on in your life, which is now Christ life. There's a difference. Even when others oppose your right to continue. You know, there are people who, when they see you try to come out of a dead situation and say, you ain't gonna make it. All the phlegm, all the garbage starts coming out, all the negative things, all the hatred starts coming out of their lips. Isn't this a wonderful message? Makes me hungry. No. Let Jesus come out of your life. You know, friends, I want you to know this. Men especially, your life is a privilege to serve God. And if you've gone through a situation where God is now, even today it might be where God is resurrecting you from a tomb that you've been placed in by others. You've died in some area in your life. It is God's privilege on you to live a new life in Christ. Just like Lazarus. He was bound. He was buried. Today you might have come to the crossway bound and buried, incapacitated and killed by certain things, and they happen. How you going today, man? All right, doing good. Doing all right. She'll be right, mate. Really? You lying thing, you. How do I say that? Why do I say that? How could I say that? Because I've done it. You lying thing, you. I'm saying to myself, you lying thing, you. If there's a need, if there's a burial that you've gone through, if there's a burial that you are still attending and you still got the grave clothes on, but you're hearing the voice of God today, respond to it and start leaping out. Ladies, if your husbands are not here, do what I said at the beginning. Keep on praying for them to hear the call and the voice of Almighty God, because they're bound up in a grave, but they don't belong there. They don't belong there. Amen. Maybe today you've been entombed by those who have given up on you. And they've seen you a certain way. And that's it. To them. Don't worry about it. Right now, I'm just going to ask you to listen to the voice of Jesus. Today, friends, is a new day. I'm finished. 31 minutes. Hallelujah, that's a miracle. Today is a new day. Today is the day the Lord has made. It's by faith we have to believe that. By faith, because there's evidences in our lives, there's circumstances in our lives that are remaining that make it look like it's not a new day. It stinks. It's an old day. And you're going to carry your problems through even to a new day. Do you have to? You don't have to if you trust in God. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice. Now, why? Why should we rejoice? Because everything is new. Don't you think Lazarus was kicking off, you know, when he got those grave clothes off? Don't you think this man was just rejoicing in Christ who was right before him, and the other people looking at him astounded? And the Sadducees and the elite Christians were looking around and starting to question, because they've got too much up here. Blind idiots with degrees. I believe in education. I've got one. So I'm not knocking on learning. But I am saying, don't let it become an idol to you either. Because there are things that you'll learn that you have to put on the shelf. I've learned something new today through experience. Amen? Praise God. Who's willing to stand up today? Why don't we all stand up today? And this is the day the Lord has made. Why do we leave this place? You know, you've got family adieus on today. Go home and rejoice. If you got a husband, hug him around his neck. He's still living. I didn't say choke him to death either. Although you'd like to sometimes. Men, I honor you this morning. Dads, I honor you all this morning. God honors us this morning because he's made us in his image. Ladies, I thank you for holding on in the preaching of this message, particularly for the men. But God's love is toward you so much as well. Amen. While you're standing, while we sing this song, if you have any need, we're not going to have an altar call this morning, except where you're standing right now. You just allow to your hearts and your spirits. Amen. Let's sing it.